Bear Podcast, the podcast for bears and cubs, episode 83.
Wolf, what a
bear podcast.
Are you gonna wear black spandex?
Okay, here are bear events.
Bears and cubs.
Either way, you're gonna be gay.
With so many topics that we covered today.
Well, not only that, you mentioned about, you know, iTunes.
You like balls, is what you're saying.
Greetings, listeners of the Bear Podcast. This is ex-Cali Bear calling.
All fun, you know, all fun, no pressure.
To go critical, man.
Another Bear's cocktails, food, and free for anyone.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Bear Podcast. This is your host, Denard.
And this is ex-Cali Bear.
Yes.
And I know that I'm sounding a little weird because I'm calling to you from the phone. I'm not on my computer this time.
Oh. Why? What's wrong?
We're having a massive storm hit us right now in Dallas, and we're not taking any chances of a power surge, so we have the computer off.
So we are one half Skype right now.
We're one half Skyping. So, but I have a very special guest with me on this episode. Say hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hello, Chris.
Hello.
How are you doing?
For those who don't know, Chris is Leo Bear 1970 on Bear 411. He's my partner. And we figured since we got two phones, let's go ahead and get him on the show. And he's here also because one of our segments coming up, he has a couple things that he'd like to say on the segment.
Yeah. Wow, it sounds nice on the other side like that. It's not choppy. It doesn't peak too much. That's awesome.
That's good. We've got a big show ahead of us today.
Yes, a very big show. Actually, before we continue, we usually have this pretty much a segment now that we do. It's called the weekend update, right? What happened to you last weekend? What do you guys have? What do you guys do last weekend?
Yesterday was the official kickoff for Pride in Dallas. So, to all the Dallas Bears who are listening, happy Pride Week!
Happy Pride Week!
So for the kickoff last night, we went to the Roundup in Oak Lawn, and they had a customer appreciation party. They threw one hell of a party, too. Leslie Jordan from Will and Grace was there.
Oh, wow.
And Leslie Jordan's in town right now performing with Delta Burke, and he's also performing in the stage production of Sword Lies. So he came out.
I actually
passed by him on the street. Oh, yeah, it was interesting. He's great, and he's short in person. He's such a short guy. But, now I can officially say that I saw Leslie Jordan, and I was literally centimeters away from him because we passed by each other on the street.
Did you say hi, or did you take a picture with him?
Oh, I said hi, but he was in his zone, so, so I think he was doing the bar hopping.
Maybe he was high. Mm-hmm. He was bar hopping?
Well, probably high off of the fact that he won the Emmy, so.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the Roundup threw one hell of a party last night. Absolutely blessed. The Roundup is starting to slowly become my favorite bar out here in Dallas, and they just really impressed me. Of course, you know, they make bears happy with free bar food. So, you know, they had a big potato bar and barbecue and everything last night. But the entertainment that they supplied was absolutely great, and just had an absolute blast.
Yeah. Well, you had your own party. I had my parties too, except that I had to work during the day, though. So that's the sucky part. But Saturday night was interesting. We had the Asians and Friends party. It's called the Moon Festival. I think I told you about this before. It's a moon, and it's actually a moon party. We ate moon cakes. They had Chinese food. They have moon lanterns and stuff like that. But the most the most interesting part is the contest. It's a 12 people participated in having their butts pictured with a digital camera.
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, there's a number beside the butt. They don't draw it. They have a piece of paper. And then they have to vote which one is the new moon, which one is is the full moon. They made a DVD out of the pictures, and they made a slideshow. And everybody had to...
So whose was the harvest moon?
I don't know. No. There are only three categories. I forgot the other one. But it was interesting because, you know, I've never seen so many butts in the screen just like that and being categorized. So, but anyway, so, what's funny was I kind of volunteered too. So,
oh my God, not you, Maynard.
But I wouldn't tell which one my butt was. So, no one would know.
So is there a way that we can see online your ass?
Oh, actually, since it was burned to the DVD, and right now I think they really burned it, the DVD. They really, literally now, they don't want any evidence of the DVD anymore. Oh, well, I could
gonna say, we need to put that shit up on the website.
Yeah, or I could put it in the part of the feed or something. What do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So people who are listening to this on their iPod could have seen your ass right there on their iPod screen.
Oh, no. Not a good idea. But I do have something for the audience. I'm compiling the Sudden Decadence videos, so watch out for that,
whoa,
guys. Yeah, it's rated PG. I didn't want to stream pictures of dicks and people jacking off. No, I didn't want to do that. So unless somebody
asks,
that'll
be reserved for Bear Podcast After Dark.
After Dark,
our version of Skinamax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, okay. So. Now, actually, we have some topics right now that are kind of important.
We got lots of stuff lined up. Mm-hmm. We got a big interview on this show, actually.
Yeah. All right, we are recording this on a very memorable day. And,
yeah, memorable, sad day. Well, there's been a couple of, there's not only been, today there's been a tragedy recently in the entertainment world, and we'll get to that also later, but... most of all, today we're actually taping on, at least the portion that you're hearing right now, we're taping on 9/11.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's a
memorable
day. And
as everybody
day.
Knows, this year is the fifth anniversary of 9/11.
Yeah. It's pretty sad. I remember when I was at the gym watching TV and I saw it happening back then. And we went to work, we continued watching it on TV, but... anyway, they made us go home and make sure that things are fine in our individual households. If we have families to call and stuff like that, but that was years ago. And today it's a very, very much remembered by me and my family too.
Mm-hmm. I think pretty much every business shut down on 9/11 because I know I didn't go into work that day. The whole entire mall that I worked at when I was in Richmond shut down. We were actually in freak-out mode because Richmond, California is the home of Chevron Refinery, and when the details started coming in more about what happened, we began to panic because we thought that not only was San Francisco going to be a target, but so was the Chevron Refinery. So pretty much everybody got out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. And especially the location that I lived at the time, I lived very close to the refinery. And I remember my mom called me very early in the morning, and I'm laying in my bed, and I'm going, my God, why is she calling me at this time of morning? And in the most unemotional voice I've ever heard her come out of her mouth, she told me, turn on the television. And she kept saying that over and over. So I remember turning the television on and seeing what happened. It took me about 15 minutes for it to actually set in what was going on because I was in a state of shock. And then I realized, oh, my God, something could happen with Richmond. So that's when I told my mom, I'm going to be staying with you for about a week. And I did, because we didn't know, what was going to boil over with this or anything. So mm-hmm. But those are my memories of 9/11.
How about you, Chris? Where were you when that happened?
I was in a meeting at work. And, let me kind of back up a little bit to that morning. What happened with me was I woke up that morning, my usual time, 6:30 in the morning, but I kind of woke up, this was before anything had even happened anywhere, nothing had happened even in New York yet, because only 6:30 here is only 7:30 there, so nothing had happened yet, mm-hmm. But I woke up with this sense of dread, and something was going to, bad was going to happen that day. Not a clue, I have no idea what was going to happen. So I got up, got dressed, went to work, and found out we're going to be having this big, huge meeting, company-wide meeting at work that morning. So we're all in the conference room, and they're announcing this new company they're starting up, and we're my part of the company is going to be sold off to this company and this big merger or whatever. Well, we're taking a break in the meeting. It's about 8:15, 8:30 in our conference room, which is around 9:15, 9:30 New York time. And Karen, a coworker of mine, comes into the conference room, and at this point, I thought that my big sense of dread was the announcement about our company being sold or merged or whatever to a different company. And I thought, well, that's going to be the end of our company. That was not it. Apparently, I had some kind of weird sense of something bad happening, and sure enough, this is what was going on. Karen, like I said, she came into the conference room. She says, "Hey, have you heard about what happened in New York?" And I go, "What's she going to hear about what happened?" I said, "Well, no, what?" She goes, "Well, apparently, they're saying at this time that a commuter plane had crashed into one of the World Trade Center towers." They didn't realize, I guess it wasn't announced that it was a commercial jetliner or whatever at the time.
Yeah,
it was a commuter plane, what she had said, is what she had heard. And we're like, well, that's awful. I hope nobody got hurt really bad or whatever. And then throughout the meeting, they stopped the meeting, and they announced what had actually happened. And this was like around, maybe like around 9:45, almost 10 o'clock our time. Because we're so cut off from what's happening in the outside world, because we have no TVs or anything there, and we're all in a meeting, so no one's playing on the internet.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, this is what's happened in New York and whatever, and we had offices in the World Trade Center towers that we lost, and we lost some of our service techs and whatever. And they, after the meeting had finished up around 10:30, they said, just go home. And so we closed up and we went home for the day, and that's where I was. I was at work. They're announcing on the same day that my company was being sold to a different company.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Two whammies for me that day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty sad day. But, of course, right now, all we can do really now is just really remember. And actually, the whole thing is really affecting everyone because of security and stuff that really makes flying and traveling inconvenient for many.
It's very inconvenient right now. I mean, I understand about safety and everything, but the problem is that they're making flying such an inconvenience now to the point where I honestly really don't feel like flying anymore. I mean, I would rather drive, to be honest with you. It's like Chris once said, it's going to get to the point probably where all carry-on luggage is going to be banned, and the only thing that you can bring with you is the clothing that you have on your back and a book.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I understand safety measures, but some of the safety measures that they are taking, I think, is a little extreme, especially with the whole, you know, not even allowed to bring water on board a plane. I mean, that affects me deeply because I'm a diabetic, and there's sometimes I need to bring liquid on board a plane for diabetic purposes. You know, what if my blood sugar drops on the flight and they don't have enough of those little tiny, first of all, there's not enough carbs in a little pack of pretzels to last me for like a 2-hour, 3-hour flight. I need a bottle of juice in case I go into a diabetic shock. What if they don't have anything available?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's always safe to take something for an emergency.
I guess you just need to ask the flight attendant to give you more or something, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Well, anyway, so everyone else listening, what do you guys think? Where were you when the incident happened? Okay, we have another topic that's really shocked the world, I guess. What do you think, Roy?
Pretty much. Yeah, I mean, of course, everybody knows by now that last week, I guess you could say zoologist, modern-day Tarzan, and pretty much worldwide entertainer Steve Irwin died quite tragically and ironically last week. Happened on Labor Day, if I remember right.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. For those who, I'm pretty sure everybody knows the circumstances around his death. He was filming a documentary, and he was filming a portion about stingrays, which are normally gentle creatures. And apparently the way he was hovering above the stingray, it startled the stingray, because he couldn't, you know, I'm pretty sure the stingray couldn't tell if it was what it was above him, just saw a silhouette, and immediately went into defense mode and struck its barb dead center into Steve Irwin's chest. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, not only is the barb solid bone pretty much and can do some hefty damage, it also contains poison. So the poison apparently went directly into Steve Irwin's bloodstream. But they also found out from the video footage that they filmed while they were filming the documentary that Steve Irwin immediately ripped the barb out of his chest, and it apparently took some flesh with it as well. So he pretty much killed himself instantly.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty scary.
And the ironic part about it is, here's a man who spent pretty much his entire life dealing with some of the most dangerous animals on the face of this earth, and the animal that kills him is an animal that's classified as one of the most gentle. I mean, I pet stingrays at the zoo, for crying out loud. And these things are so gentle and so calm and so peaceful. And you would think if Steve Irwin would get killed by an animal, it would have been a crocodile, or he would have been stung by a scorpion.
Or bitten by a snake or rattlesnake,
exactly.
Perhaps. Although he did get a lot of bites before. I mean, you know, he's been bitten many, many, many times before. Mm-hmm. But hit by a stingray really did him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they say that it's a nature's way of revenge or something.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much, I guess, yeah. But it's very tragic. I feel sorry for his family. I really do, because, you know, his baby daughter is so young. Mm-hmm. And he was only, what, 44, 45 years old? He was still a young man. Mm-hmm. And it is quite shocking, to be honest with you, because, I mean, I've watched this guy for God knows how long on Animal Planet. I even went to go see the movie that came out in the theaters.
Yeah. Well, I remember being shocked watching his documentaries when I was younger, you know, whenever he pets a snake or pets a crocodile, I mean, and wrestle a crocodile and do things with tarantulas. You know, it was shocking, and it worked. It worked for me, and that got me into watching these documentaries when I was younger. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But you know, because of him, actually, many families and many kids got interested into biology, I guess, and he pretty much became a model for a lot of people.
Well, he made it exciting. That's the thing.
Yeah, he made it fun, exciting. Learn these things with these animals, that you don't have to be that scared, that they can be pet. Yeah, you can pet a crocodile. All right. Yeah, that
I wouldn't want to.
I don't want to either. But yeah, I guess he took a lot of fear from people. People who are afraid of animals. Because
plus, he was downright entertaining, because I remember, when I would watch The Crocodile Hunter, I would sit there and I go, what is this idiot doing now?
Yeah.
What's
he
going to
do this time?
While watching the show.
Yeah.
What is this idiot doing now? What are you doing? You know, so. But yeah, I'm going to miss him. He was entertaining. He was absolutely entertaining. I'm going to miss Steve Irwin a lot.
Yeah, that's it.
Nice. Nice butt.
Yeah, sure.
So what's your number?
Can I buy you a beer?
Do you work out a lot?
Do you come here often?
Woof, what a bear.
The following audio was done using an online voice chat program called Skype. And please bear with us. It's kind of choppy and some latency, and it's kind of echoey in the background. So bear with us. Also, this is part one of the interview. It turns out the audio is very long, so we had to chop it up into two parts. So, hope you enjoy it. All right, it is our pleasure to have a returning guest. He's a stand-up comedian in California. Welcome again to the show, Bubbaloo.
Woohoo! Where's my confetti?
Who are you, Rip Taylor?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I want fireworks and confetti and champagne. Have you guys not gone to that level in podcasting yet, where it's like, where's the swag bag and everything?
Come on, oh,
we don't have anything
swag
of
bag.
Those.
Well, I could give you this used stick of Walgreens chapsticks and a glass cleaner.
Excellent.
There you go. I'll there's your it. Swag. Oh, and a little rubber ducky from Bed and Bath Works.
Here's my address.
All right. I got some empty envelopes around here. I can shred for you something.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, all right.
I don't want your dirty, gross, herpes-infested chapstick. Ew.
There's no herpes on there. Maybe some syphilis, but...
Not yet.
Oh.
Gosh. First thing we talk about is syphilis and...
of course, gosh. Why not?
Well, anyway, okay, so how are you doing? How are you doing, Babalu, there in California?
I'm doing great. Mm-hmm. I'm a busy, busy boy.
Yeah. Yes, you are, yes.
It seems to be 2006 has been very, very good to you.
Productive.
Have you had a chance to breathe?
Not in the last, probably in the last 3 months, I have had very little time to breathe. So, no, I have not had. I shouldn't, you know, I'm not complaining about it. I kind of asked for this because at the beginning of the year, I made a New Year's resolution to myself to, like, just take it to the next level. And
you certainly have.
It's gone about three or four, so I'm not complaining. I'm just busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I mean, busy is good, of course.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a good busy. It's not a oh my god, I can't even function busy. Although at this point right now, my brain is kind of exhausted. I went to my crummy day job today and I just could not even focus.
Oh, I can imagine.
And I got a full night of sleep, so, you know, it happens.
Especially with all the success that you're having right now, I can imagine that going to your day job is sucking. It really must be.
It's the death of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm serious. It's just it's terrible. I tell anybody, and I will tell anybody whoever asks, you know, what, how do you do it? How do you make it? How do you, you know, how do you get to that point? And you've got to come up with a plan to figure out what you need to do to make enough money to get out of working 9 to 5. And the light is at the end of the tunnel for me in that regard. So
it certainly is.
Yeah.
I mean, you've had so much going on with you. I mean, you've been going to perform at like Bear Jam and all sorts of different, you know, gay and lesbian events. You got to see the Christ of the Ozark.
that was worth it right there. That was worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah.
So you were recently at the Gay Mafia competition.
Yeah, last night. Tell us what happened last night.
It was fun. I had the I did not win, unfortunately.
Aww.
Right, though. It's funny because there's two aspects to it. I didn't technically win the contest, but overall, I kind of won because, A, I was funny. I mean, I had the crowd with me, and I'm not just saying that, like, in some sort of egotistical way. I mean, I had the crowd with me, and the only things that were going against me was the fact that comedy contests are kind of – they're fun, but they're kind of stupid at the same time. Comedy contests prove nothing because you can win a comedy contest by just bringing 5,000 people, and they all vote for you.
True.
So you could be – you know, if you brought more people and they all have guaranteed your vote – you could literally get up on stage and take a dump, and they'd be like, "All right, you win," you know, because
well,
you got
some people that might be that. Funny. So,
well, I know, but it's just one of those things where I don't judge my career, my comedy level, my amount of funny. I don't judge anything on it by doing contests, because if you take them seriously, you'll destroy yourself. It's really a numbers game, and it's also where you are, because the unfortunate thing is I got to go first out of six. So by the time the contest was over, people probably pretty much forgot.
Yeah, going first is always a bad position to go.
It wasn't as fresh, you know. But I don't want to blame it on anything. I mean, really. The unfortunate thing is that there are two lesbian comedians who I'm friends with who were in the contest who they've been on Comedy Central already. They already have careers, so it was kind of like, "Do you need this?" You know, but they
it's kind
won.
Of the same controversy with Last Comic Standing. There was a couple of people on this season that I know of that still had established careers. You know, so
yeah.
it didn't really seem like they need. Fortunately, it went to somebody who deserved it, but yeah, that was my biggest complaint about it, was here was these people who were seasoned stand-up comedians, and I'm going, wait a minute, I've seen you perform on, you know, a half-hour show. What the hell are you
doing?
Well, it was less about, I mean, the funny thing is that all the people that were in the contest, we were all friends. So it wasn't like, who's that bitch? We're going to cut her. You know, it was nothing like that. You know, it wasn't, we were all good friends. We all...
Eve moments or anything?
No, not at all. It was not a drag contest, you know, get off my dress or anything like that. It was, we all knew each other, so it was just like good friends having a fun time. And all of us, I believe, had the intention of just having a good time and making the crowd laugh versus, well, I'm going to be funnier than you and watch me one-up you. It was less of that. And in fact, two of the comics that were in it, who are really, really funny, they just, for some reason, the crowd just didn't buy into them, and it's unfortunate because they're really funny, but they just, I saw one of them kind of crumble, and it was like, ooh, you know, that's kind of sucks, but sometimes that happens, you know.
Yeah.
How big was the crowd?
I would say in about 100, 125 people. I'm guesstimating. I'd say maybe 100 people.
Just okay. A lot in one place, yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of people. Well, it was a little, you know, so Hamburger Mary's is a restaurant, so.
Yeah.
A lot of LJers, huh?
I'd say about a dozen of them.
Ah, pretty good. Yeah. How long was your set? I mean, how long did you
set was 12 minutes. It was 12 minutes. The previous one was 5 minutes. So I had time to relax and get stuff out, and I got some good stuff out there. And as I said, I don't feel like a loser because, first of all, I got a lot of exposure to, you know, the gay community outside of the Bears, you know, because the Bears know me, but, you know, it's always good to get more exposure anywhere, whether it's straight bars, gay bars, whatever.
Sure, that's true.
And I got to perform in front of a regular gay and lesbian audience versus a specific Bear audience, which, and I'll be honest with you, the hardest audience to play for is a gay audience because they're judgmental. You know, they're no, I mean, they are. No, I'm not saying that in like a catty way. They are. It's harder to work them because they're picking it apart from the minute you get up there, and you need to really just make them laugh. And you know, because straight people, I'll be honest with you, I've worked straight clubs and, you know, little straight Midwestern bars, and it's cake because they, you know, you just tell one dick joke and you got it, you know.
Yeah, a water bottle joke or something. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool.
So who wound up winning?
Stephanie Howard. Cool. Yeah, both Stephanie Howard. There was two. There was like a grand prize and then the first place or whatever. Stephanie Howard and Sabrina Matthews both won. Stephanie Howard got the top prize, and it's, you know, as I said, both of them have had Comedy Central specials. So, you know, it was like, why don't we just have Ellen? Yeah, well, I kind of laughed because I'm like, why don't we just have Ellen show up? She'll do a quick set, and all right, woo, you know, it's like, you know. So, but hey, you know, good for them. They're, as I said, they're friends. There's no hate. I love them. They did a great job. Well, the first three comics, me, Stephanie, and Sabrina, just, you know, tore the house up. So it was a really fun time, and you know, no complaints whatsoever.
Yeah, you were in Salt Lake City too about a few weeks ago, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, I believe.
2 weeks ago, yeah. Bear Alliance sent you. How did that go?
That was great. We had a really fun time. I performed at this sports bar for women called Mo Diggity's, which was super fun, and the venue was nice, and we had a great crowd, and they ended up raising, the best part is, because it, you know, it was a charity event to raise money. It was called Lemonade, where it was raising money for cancer research, or I take that back, it wasn't cancer research, it was a cancer fund, because I guess the Utah, like, gay community has this thing called the court, mm-hmm. where they have, like, an emperor and an empress and, like, a bunch of people that work for it. And
they had that in San Francisco also.
Yeah, they try to raise money. They try to raise money throughout the year just for, you know, charity events. And this one was for cancer. So if there are, you know, gay and lesbian people in the community that, you know, have had cancer treatment or have cancer, like, you know, bills or whatever, you know, like, cancer bills, that sounds great. I have a bill for cancer. But they have like doctor's bills for, you know, their cancer treatments. This raises money for that. And we raised over, I think it was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $1,300, and
wow.
That's the most they ever raised.
Wow, that's a lot.
So I felt really privileged to be part of that. It was really fun.
Right.
And yeah, the comedy went great. I made the door lesbian who was, you know, taking the ticket to the door laugh so hard she had to leave the bar because she was choking. I mean, so we were on that night.
Uh-huh.
Sweet. And you got to meet Marie Osmond.
Oh, yes. She was awesome. On the flight back, you know, you get in, this was a little four-seater, two on each side type of, you know, just cargo jet, whatever, and I get on the plane and I'm in the first seat, in the aisle, and I'm low maintenance on planes, so I don't care if you've got screaming kids or if you've got whatever. I mean, it's annoying, but I'm just like, I don't give a crap because I'll just go to sleep or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And no one was sitting next to me at the window, so I was like, oh, this is gonna be great. I might actually have two seats. And right near the end of the, you know, the whole thing, this woman gets on with this big white flowy dress, like a sundress type of thing, and she's on her Palm Pilot, you know, talking and whatever, or her Trio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she's like, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not even listening to the conversation, but I'm just like, boy, great, I'm sitting next to one of these. Because, you know, they're making the announcements, please turn off all electronics, and she's still yapping away, you know. And I'm like, oh, great, you know, high maintenance. You know, and she's like walking over. Well, I'm just like, she's walking over me, and she's like, sorry about my dress, oh, my God. I'm like, oh, get away from me, lady, you know. So, because I don't like talking on planes to people, really. I don't really, you know, if I don't know them at all, I'm just, and they're like, whoa, where are you going? I'm like, shut up, leave me alone, you know. So she gets on the plane, she sits down, and I'm just ignoring her. I'm just reading my magazine, and, you know, flight's taking off and all that, and it's quiet on the plane. She, you know, turned her phone off, and I didn't even know who it was, and I kind of just glanced over a little bit, and she's reading this big binder. And I saw in the inside paper, like, it was some network. I can't remember what network the show was on, but I look and I'm like, oh, she must be some, you know, some sort of executive or something. And I look on the front of the binder, and in big black print, big bold type, says, Marie Osmond, duets. And I'm like, holy crap. And I kind of look up, wow. And I'm like, Marie Osmond. So I lean into her and I go, look, I didn't even recognize you when you got on the plane, but now that you're reading a giant binder that says Marie Osmond on the front, it's nice to meet you. Yeah. She was super sweet. She showed me pictures of her family.
Wow.
On her laptop, and then she made me play a game called Zuma, which I got instantly addicted to. And and then I told her about my comedy, and she got a card for me, and she said, I'll totally come to one of your shows. I'm like, oh
wow.
Okay.
Awesome.
Yeah, but don't oh wow it, because, you know, I'm sure that's like, you know, it's Marie Osmond. It's not like she's like, oh, I got nothing going on.
She's gonna go.
She's on vacation. Yeah. I mean, she's, you know, she's now on network TV, so it's not like she's like, hey, what is Marie Osmond doing Friday night? She's going to this show at the Amsterdam Cafe in North Hollywood. It's this thing called Milkshoot. I have no idea. You know, I doubt it. So, you know.
Well, who knows?
I never believe it until I see it.
You didn't expect it that you're going to be sitting beside her in the first
place. True.
Yeah,
true,
so
of course. The queen of Salt Lake City and Mormonism, and there I am sitting next to her on my first ever trip to Salt Lake City. You know? Yeah.
And it could have been worse. You could have been sitting next to Tom Cruise.
Yeah, well, that would have been more interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I would have totally been like, okay, what's the deal, really? Tell me the real Tom Cruise in 5 minutes, because this is crazy. I don't want to believe it all, really. Just tell me. I'll act like I'm on his side just to get the dirt, you know?
Yeah. Or Mel Gibson, maybe.
That would have been boring, I think.
Although, I honestly,
no, because I would have honestly asked him nothing but Lethal Weapon questions, and I'm sure he would have been pissed off. You know, he's like, I'm more than that. I'm the Passion of the Christ, and I'm, you know, I'd be like, dude, Murtaugh, what's up?
Yeah, actually, I was watching Lethal Weapon just a while ago. I glanced it on TV, and oh, yeah, kind of reminds me. Yeah. Anyway, hey, we're going to take a break, and then we'll continue on, and we'll be back, okay?
We interrupt this podcast for some events for you guys. Southeastern Bear Gathering 2006 in Unadilla, Georgia, September 29th. This is the inaugural gathering and encampment of the Southern Bears and Friends at our new home campground, Lumberjacks Campground and Resort in Unadilla, Georgia, just south of Macon, and it's open to individuals and bear clubs throughout the Southeast and the world. This event is designed to build and promote unity, brotherhood, and camaraderie among all bears and their admirers. So check out the website at southernbears.org. Riviera Bears Second Annual Bears Weekend in Torquay, Devon, United Kingdom on September 29th. Okay, it's an interesting event they're going to have. They're going to have a 70s night at the Clipper, Bear Splash at Steamer Quay, Bear Feast at the Red Snapper, Bop Until You Drop at Rockies. Interesting. Okay, so check out the website at clippertorquay.com/promotionbear.htm. I'll put the link on the website. Okay, let's talk about Ursa's Planet. I visited their website, and I'm sorry to say that their event is canceled. I don't particularly know when it should be, but they just said it's canceled. It says here, we are writing this message to apologize for the cancellation of Ursa's Planet SitGuest 2006. This is not easy for us, and we hope you understand. Yeah, it looks like they had some problems with organizing the location and the promotions. They started this back in 2003, and too bad they won't be able to do it this year. So if you visit ursusplanet.com, you'll see the letter from the organizers. Okay, let's go to Amsterdam. Yes, the Hairy Man Dance Party on September 30th. Okay, they're going to have a party there. They're going to have hairy men, bears, muscle bears, otters, cubs, and smooth admirers. Interesting. Okay, so go to www.furball.nl. Now, back to the show. All right, time for shout-outs, guys. Shout-out!
Okay, I got a few shout-outs. First, I want to give a shout-out to my friend Chris. He's known as Bono Cub on Bear411. We've been chatting online for a long time online, and we finally officially met face-to-face on Sunday. So I want to give a shout-out. It was great finally meeting him. We're going to be hanging out this weekend for Pride. I'm going to be hanging out at Six Flags Over Texas for Gay Day and also at the Gay Pride Parade along with a lot of other people. But I'm going to be hanging out with Bruce and Josh and everybody. So I'm going to be busy this weekend.
Wow. So. That's good.
But I wanted to give a great shout-out to Chris. I also want to give a shout-out to Don and Drew of the Don and Drew Show. They're going to be in town next week. I'm actually going on next Wednesday, the 20th, to a live taping of the Don and Drew Show. This is the first time they've ever done an episode in front of a live studio audience. And I'm going to be there, and Chris is going to be there, and I just found out from Drew
that
he's actually very excited. It's very exciting, and they're excited to meet Chris, so because I've talked about him before on the show. So, but apparently another podcast is going to be videotaping the whole entire event for their podcast. So Don and Drew decided, let's tape a podcast in front of a live studio audience. So for the Dallas Bears out there that are listening to the show that also listen to the Don and Drew Show, go to donanddrew.com to get the information. It's going to be done at the Absinthe Club here in Dallas. But you need to go to the website itself to RSVP so that way they can guarantee you a spot inside the club because seats are limited for the show. So, and one last shout-out. I want to give a shout-out to David Leslie. He's the president of the Dallas Bears Club. Just recently got to know this guy. I'm actually getting ready to go through the process of joining the Dallas Bears.
He's a nice guy.
He's a very nice guy, and I look forward to doing lots of activities with him and with the Dallas Bears. And Chris is going to be joining it as well. This is how many times have you been?
History. I was a member from 1998 through 2002. Then I left and went back in 2004, and I left again, and now here I am.
So Chris is actually, how many TBRUs did you plan?
I helped plan four. I planned TBRUs. TBRU 4, 5, 6, and 7, and I was on the board of directors as a club historian for 5 years.
Wow, you're busy. Yeah, so you did a lot, huh?
Yeah, I'm a busy guy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, so he's getting back involved, and I'm getting involved with it as well, and And David Leslie admitted that he's never heard our show, but he knows of our show. And now I'm going to push him to start listening to our show. So.
Well, if you're listening to this, David, welcome. You've got mail. No, I'm kidding.
You got porn.
You got porn.
When I used to have AOL, that's what my You Got Mail sound was the sound of me going, "You got porn," because that seemed to be all that I ever got on AOL was porn. So.
Yeah.
And it was all the porn I didn't want, too. It's like women's legs spread open going, you know, good cunt lapping. And I'm like, I don't want that.
Oh, gosh.
Ew.
Ew. Okay, how about you, Chris? Do you have anyone to greet?
I only have one, but he's already on the show.
Oh, okay. Oh. No. Okay.
More one for us, Chris. We got the nerd unnerved.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, you did the baby noise. Well,
what are you guys doing? Take a picture. Or video. Turn on your camera now. I want to see your camera now.
Oh, God, no.
I'm kidding. Anyway, okay.
So, Nard, what about you? Do you got a shout-out?
Yes, of course. T. Lloyd. Tommy from The Moment of Minutia. Yes, he's his video podcast is great. I love it. And actually, I'll be a guest in their show, in his show, hopefully soon. I just need to arrange some stuff with him. But I'll be in that video. So if you guys want to check out his video podcast, you can subscribe to it via iTunes. And or you can go to the website at momentofminutia.com. You can... I'll put the link on the website. Also, a new podcast that is started by one of our friends in Houston area Bears. His name is Mark. And his friend Chris, Mark and Chris, they started a new music podcast called homopod.com. And it's pretty awesome. They play PodSafe music, and they introduce a lot of they'll be introducing a lot of new queer music. That's what they say. Yeah. They're also part of the band called Straight Up Queer, and they have their own website called straightupqueer.com. Yeah, so check it out. I'll put the link on the website. Also, last weekend I was in Sudden Decadence, and my friend Jerry, Buckeye Cub, yeah, shout out Jerry. He helped him out. He helped me out in introducing the video that I'll be posting very soon this week. And cool. What else is going to happen? Oh, yeah, this coming weekend, I hope to see some of the Columbus friends that I met last year. I'll be in Columbus, Ohio. And I'll be hanging out at Wolf's if it's open. I heard it's going to be closing. And if not, I'll be in Tradewinds. Yeah, Mike and I have already planned to go around there, go to visit that bar. Cool. And I found out that Mike when he used to live in Columbus, Ohio, he used to hang out around Tradewinds. So I'm going to check it out. So if you guys are there, any of you guys listening who are from Columbus, Ohio, yeah, and email me so I can maybe we can hang out or something, Tradewinds. All right. Anything else?
If there's any bears in the Dallas area who are going to either Gay Days at Six Flags this Saturday, or if you're going to the Pride Parade itself, drop me an email. You can email me at xcalibear@gmail.com. Would love to meet you guys. So would love to meet people who listen to the show and get to know you and all that jazz. And like I said, Chris will be with me as well. So if you happen to spot us either inside Six Flags or around Pride, don't be shy. Say hi.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to go there on a gay day or something. Because I missed the gay day here, because there's no more gay day here in the Astroworld, because there's no more Astroworld. There's no more Six Flags Astroworld. So, good for you guys.
Well, it's not officially gay day at Six Flags anymore. It used to be an official event with Six Flags, and then all the protesters protested. And now it's official to us, but Six Flags doesn't acknowledge it. They sell the tickets to it, but they don't really acknowledge what it is.
It's totally on the hush-hush, as they would say in L.A. Confidential. So,
Sex Flags. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh. And from what I understand, there's going to be protesters there at the gate. There apparently always are every year, so I'm ready for that. So,
mm-hmm. Are you going to make out in front of them or something? No.
I'll probably wear my T-shirt. Actually, it's Chris's shirt that says "Fuck me like you hate me." So. I know. Six Flags is a family-friendly environment. I can't wear that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. How about you, Chris?
What about me?
How can people contact you?
My Bear 411. I'm Leo Bear 1970. I'm hardly ever on there though. And my email address is dfwteddybear@gmail.com.
How's the guest book on your Bear 411 profiles? How are they now?
On mine?
Yeah. On all of you guys. Are you and Roy?
I've got about four.
I've got about seven.
Really?
I think it's a useless feature, but I don't run the website, so.
Yeah. It was funny, Babalu's comment on that one, yeah.
One last time, we need to thank Babalu also for taking the time out of his extremely busy schedule to interview with us. And in case, like I said, I'm in constant contact with the man now. But I just want to officially say on the show to him, break a leg on the DVD shoot. So,
oh yeah, good luck. Mm-hmm.
So I'm pretty sure he's looking forward to that. So.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. So you can email me at bearchaser@bearpodcast.com. Visit the website at www.bearpodcast.com. And you can also leave voicemails at 206-222-2327. Did I say that right? 2327. Yeah, 206-222-2327. Is that right?
R206-222-BEAR.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I almost forgot my own phone number. Okay, so yeah, and also visit the MySpace page.
Yes, we have a MySpace page
it's
now.
So
we've
simple.
Become MySpace more.
Yeah, myspace.com/bearpodcast. When you go there, it plays the latest episode. So probably when you go there and when you listen to this, you'll be able to hear this episode and the latest episode. Whatever's latest.
Now we can become like all the other preteen girls who sit there with their MySpace pages going, "Oh, Brad, he's totally cute, but he's going out with Angela, that slut."
Either that or lurkers or pedophiles. No?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
We're a Dateline NBC episode waiting to happen.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you everyone for listening and downloading the show, and we'll probably catch you next week. Oh, watch out for the Sudden Decadence video within the week. We'll be able to post that. Okay. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Many wolves and many hugs.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.